Well, hello and welcome to our third podcast.
On Radio Made, it's the Goose.
It's the Goose.
It's the Goose, guys. It's the Goose.
Today we have a special guest with us. Her name is Christina Yee. Hello, Christina.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome, yes. Christina's an animator from California, currently living in Dublin. And she has a lot of opinions about things like Star Wars and feminism.
Yeah.
I just noticed, Christine, you're getting out some pencils. Are you going to draw for us?
No. Well, so this is what I did before I came here today, is I took some notes in my notebook to back up all of the arguments that I have in this argument that I'm going to have with myself about Star Wars.
Seems like Moira and I could use a book like that.
Probably. I actually just want to introduce ourselves before we begin. I'm Moira Brady Amroll.
I'm Katie Shatter.
I'm Christina Yee.
I'm Rory Brosnan.
And we
collectively, we're Goose.
We're Goose. We're missing a couple people this week. We're missing Mark Canton and Annie Gill.
And then there's an adjunct member who never comes, so I don't know if we need to even mention her, but I did have the impulse to mention her.
Oh, of course. And she actually hopefully will be calling us later.
Oh, will she? Cool. Yeah. Well, in that case, her name is Pearl.
Pearl she gets a name because she's calling us.
Yeah. You have to contribute, you know.
Contribute.
Contribute.
What do you say? Say it in Cork.
Contribute. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you say it again?
Contribute.
I say contribuous.
You're so contribuous, Mark.
I am contribuous, and I like to contribuous. Quickly moving on. So it's really good to be here today. You guys, it's nice that you are here as well. Can someone please say something besides me?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I thought it looked possible. Like you were building up to something. No. Like I thought that was going to be one of Moira's big reveals. I thought you were about to tell us a secret.
Generally, when I have a big reveal, I usually rely on you guys to do the work in reference to revealing it. So,
okay, good to know.
When I'm on stage and I just move my hands and you have to come out and you're like, hey, can you look? You're a cat, and that's what you're doing, you know.
Should we tell everybody where Mark and Annie are? They're at a nudist theater retreat in Sweden. I don't know if it's actually nudist. I think it's in some forest, but they're in Sweden at a theater retreat.
I'm pretty sure they're
jealous right now. I'd love to be at a nudist theater retreat.
It does sound idyllic.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Moy?
Minus the theater part. We could leave that out.
Christine, have you ever been to a nudist theater? Anything nudist? Let's talk nudist. I love that.
Yeah, nothing nudist at all.
Nothing.
Never.
You're never nude.
Where in California are you from, Christina?
I'm from a city called Fairfield, which is in the Bay Area of California, okay. So Northern California.
It's the most clothed place in California.
But I ask that because there is a wonderful springs. Is that what you call it? Harbin Hot Springs. Have you heard of Harbin Hot Springs?
Mm-mm.
It's just in wine country, Calistoga. But it's a nudie.
I love nudie in your accent.
Sorry, it's a nudie what?
A nudie, they have like natural pools and their stuff, and it's very above board. It's very like proper and respectable.
Of course, if it's in wine country, then it's probably extremely expensive.
No, it's not. It's kind of it's not. It's yeah, it's somewhat expensive, but it's not super fancy. Is that my phone?
All the phones.
Move the phones away from the other machines.
That is my sole experience with nudiness.
Have you gone there?
Yeah, I've gone there twice.
Wow.
It was really nice.
Twice?
Yeah.
It's like were you with your 56-year-old girlfriend, Carol? Because that's what it sounds like. That's the kind of place.
Hey, my mother's called Carol, and she's kind of near that age, so I don't know why.
There's something I've been meaning to tell you, Kelly.
I'd be okay with that. You're both good people.
You're both really good people.
Your father might be annoyed.
Sure.
Anyway, let's get off that train.
Yeah.
No, it was a very cool experience. And it's in California, and it's sunny, and it's, you know, it's very kind of...
And when nudity happens in California, it's just normal, right?
It is. It's like, yeah, they don't bat an eyelid.
It's like the Scandinavians of America. That's what they call it. That's what California is like. It's full of people who are comfortable with their bodies. And
that's why people have so much plastic surgery in L.A.
Yeah.
So they can really go to nudie resorts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And be really proud, I guess, of their, you know, Frankenstein bodies.
They're Frankenstein bodies.
Has anybody else been to a nudie resort?
Yeah, for a day. A bath.
That was why I was there for a day. I wasn't there for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Where, Kelly?
Oh, in LA. I've told the story millions of times. Oh. I feel like every time I do a podcast, I tell the story.
California. What? How? Yeah. How? I see this as a totally European thing.
It was a Vietnamese bathhouse. Yeah. It was a magical time. My review? Done nudies.
No comment.
Oh, I'm getting wild images now, but you're wearing leaves, so don't worry, it's not explicit.
Good, oh good. That's kind of sweet. It's like a Simpsons cartoon version of what actually happened.
No, I definitely haven't. I mean, I lived in Iceland for 5 months.
What? Yeah, oh yeah, no, I remember
when
that.
When I was 20. Yeah. And that involved a lot of boredom that was just like, guess we'll all go to the baths. Why don't we bathe? What else can we do? Bathing, cool. But like that just involved just, I guess, you know, I was in a bathing suit usually.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
Nope.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
No.
Not even remotely.
Not even that.
Not that remotely.
No, it was, but wait, hang on. But like, but people are okay with nudity there.
They well, then. Other people were
Yeah, that still doesn't count. You being
naked. Naked. That's one of those moments where I laughed, and Garrett that's probably like cringing right now listening to the podcast because it's like a gunshot in his ear. Sorry.
I like constantly telling people a story that isn't my own to tell, but a friend of mine, she was going out with a guy from Denmark, and they it was the first time she met all his family. I really hope she doesn't mind me telling the story, but I'm not mentioning
any
names.
What's her name?
No.
Go on, just
call her
give us an initial and a full last name.
Leandrothal. That's a made-up name, so don't try and figure it out.
Oh, that's a made-up name? Oh my god, I'm so surprised. I'm so fucking surprised by
I was just
that.
Checking your Facebook feed to see all your friends with Leandertal's name.
Because people don't use fake names on Facebook either, yeah.
Oh, true.
Although, when I said it's a made-up name, I meant it's not like, it's not Leanne, and then I just added Drathal. Something's gone blank.
Something said no signal? That's probably fine.
Yeah. We'll just carry on regardless, I guess.
We may or may not be having technical detail details.
We're great. We're
it's
live.
All, it's all good. So she's over. She's in
he's
Denmark.
Being forced to listen to this.
She's in Denmark. And the first time she's met the parents and the extended family. And they're like, I'm going to do it. You're going to try an accent. But just a little bit. Let's go for a sauna.
Yeah, sauna.
Sauna. And so it's a naked sauna. It's like a bathhouse thing. So she's just met all of the family. And
oh
then
my
she's
God.
Naked with them.
That's
all.
Fucking bizarre.
But she was pretty cool with it. And I was like, whoa, really? Not uncomfortable. She's like, no, it would have been weirder if I had been in my underwear. Which does make sense if she was the only one.
But that's the thing. That's like the thing that isn't a big deal.
I had a friend in Los Angeles who was from New Caledonia, which is a little French territory just off of New Zealand. Nobody's ever heard of it. But anyway, when he was growing up...
Hold on, can you try and say that in a New Zealand accent, please? Just New Caledonia.
New Caledonia.
Thank you, go on.
All right, there we go.
Home of the flat white.
What's that?
It's a coffee drink. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, what he told me that when he was growing up, he and the family would regularly be naked together around the house. And I was like, dude, that's why you have so many problems, because he had some problems. And he's like, no, it was totally normal.
No, I
you mean there was too much
I
nudity?
I just, I felt, it just, yeah,
You're
I don't
from
know.
Catholic Ireland, that's not your fault.
I told you guys about the story when I was cleaning that lady's house, and she came out of the kitchen, and I was like cleaning her dying room, and she was topless and didn't have dentures in.
Oh no, how old was she? Was she like really ugly?
Like she was in her 70s.
Yeah. I think that's a bit better.
But that was like a rite of passage in the neighborhood that I lived in, because everyone was like, of course everybody, I'll just give her a fake name. Of course everybody's seen Sandra topless. That's like, now that you've done that, you're now in the club. You're in the club of things that can't be erased from your memory.
Can I hark back to when Rory said, was she really ugly?
Well, no, she had a beautiful set of breasts for a woman her age, actually.
Yeah, well, I was then going to point out that I think it would not be as bad for seeing a 70-year-old like that versus, like, a 50-year-old. For some reason, I think it's more acceptable.
No, no, okay.
No, he's not doing well.
Yeah,
what do you think, Christine? Is he digging a hole?
I don't know. See, I thought this was
my
interesting
my
segue
position.
To into the reason that I'm here.
Oh, great.
Feminist watch.
Ooh.
That's right. Actually, that's your... That's her column. That is her column.
Nicely segued.
And that is her, hopefully, weekly contribution to this podcast.
That's great. She's on feminine. I love the idea of Christine always being here whenever anything goes.
I was like, this is Feminist Watch, Feminist Watch moment.
Actually, I like the idea of me hiring someone I'm friends with as like a censor for Goose. Because that's really what the dream is. But yeah.
Can you I guess, you know, in that vein or in that topic, the interesting question is, if it had been, you know, a man who waltzed into the room, would your first question have been, was he really ugly?
I accept that it was a mean-spirited comment. No. I accept that.
Okay, and now if it's a man...
There we go, I've been rebuked.
Wait a second, now if it's a man, what would you care if he was 50 or 70? Would it be, like, more disgusting one way or the other?
And in a non-loaded way, what would your first question have been?
If it had been a man?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between a topless man and a topless woman.
No, I mean, like, a bottomless man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
He had no bottom?
Yeah, no...
My question would be, what happened to his bottom?
I think that would be...
He just has bones, his little ball joints.
I think that would be even more, I don't know what the word is, disturbing or unusual or remarkable. I'm trying to dance around.
But what would your question be?
I wasn't asking a question.
What would you,
if someone said, and he walked into the room and his junk was just out there, what would your lean forward... You know, this is my first question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
question.
Well, no, I have apologized for that.
He didn't have his dentures in, and Sergeant, we'll call him, had no trousers on.
But I was going to say that I think it would be more acceptable for an older person to do it, like somebody who's clearly elderly versus somebody who's...
Rory, why are you avoiding this question so much as to what your question would be?
If it was...
I don't know what it would be, because I don't know.
All right, here, we'll do it right
improv.
Now.
Improv.
This is it, okay. So you guys, I used to clean houses in my old neighborhood years ago, and this one time I was cleaning this old guy's house, and he...
What was his name?
Sarge. And Sarge, I was like cleaning the dining room, and Sarge came out of the kitchen, and he didn't have his dentures in. He didn't have his dentures in, and he wasn't wearing any pants.
I think I'd just make a statement or like...
All right!
You can't force me to ask the question.
Yes, you can. It's improv. We are an improv.
Oh, we're doing an improv. Okay.
Oh, that was a bit of role play, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were asking.
Do I have to do this again?
No, just go. I'll go.
Yeah, well, look at you.
Sarge, he had no junk. Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Yeah, he had no genitals.
Poor guy now has no bottom and no junk. No, I was wearing no...
no clothes. Like, he was
it's going very New York too here. Yeah. I had no trousers on at all. He was totally naked. What do you think, Rory? Any questions to ask?
Oh my God, we have to end this.
Did he have a nice shirt on? There we go.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was wearing a lovely blouse.
Nice. And scene. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's move on.
But I'm glad
at
least we gained some sort of... We were having a real difficult time accelerating there for a while. It felt like I kept putting the keys in the ignition. It was just like... Yee, 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 yee.
Poor Rory sweating over there.
I'm sweating. I'm like, yeah.
I'm sorry, I just wiped my brow, even though I'm not sweating.
In sympathy with you, Rory. Yeah.
Christine, I want to hear about being an animator. Is it Christina? Oh, I'm so sorry. Why didn't you correct me?
Christina Yee. Her name is Christina Yee, which could be heard Christine Yee, maybe.
I get it all the time.
All the time, even when my name has been written out. It's very strange.
Written out? Like somebody was written out of the Bible? That's what happens.
Actually, no, even when like letters are in front of someone's face, they will choose to not see the A and place an E there instead. I don't know why. It happens all the time, though.
Because people are insane.
I know I just ask you a question, but I have just a segue question for a second. I was talking to my next-door neighbor today, and she's been calling me Kerry now for the last 2 years. When is it too late to say it's actually Kelly? It's probably the moment's past, isn't it?
What we need to do is get her over for dinner, and we'll have an intervention. We'll stage an intervention.
Everyone just keep on, hey, Kelly, pass the potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, Christine.
How often do you...
That's how you say your name now. You're like, Christine. Christine.
Kelly, how often have you spoken to her? Like, is it like 4 times in 2 years? Or is it like, you know, no, every week and like on a Monday morning?
We're building up quite the friendship over the garden now. It's nice.
Yeah?
Okay. Here's what you do. What's her name? Oh, wait.
Connie.
Are you sure that's her name?
I shouldn't say. In case.
But you should call her Carney. Be like, Carney, can you please pass me some sugar? I'm out of sugar, Carney. And she'll be like, my name is not Carney.
No, I know what you should do. No, I know. You should put a letter that's correctly delivered to you under her door.
Ooh,
so
smart.
So that she gets it and sees that your name is Kelly Shatter.
That's very smart. Okay, very good. Sorry, Christina.
You wanted to know about my life as an animator?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you've asked at a good moment, because there are lots of things that are true about being an animator, like the fact that
we would hate for you to tell us the things that weren't true about being an animator.
I want to know the things that are lies.
But it would be very, very like, misleading.
Tell me the things that are lies about being an animator.
Well, this is, I guess, an obvious one, but it takes a really long time to make animation. And the kind of animation that I've been doing at the moment has been stop motion animation with little paper cutouts. And this new apartment that we've moved into kind of just about a month ago, I couldn't find a good way to black out the windows, which is important. You know, if I don't black out the windows, then if I'm animating it in the daytime, you know, because it takes so long to do one shot, you'll see the changes in the light.
So is it true that, is it a lie that animators are largely vampiric?
Oh, well, that's, wow.
Or is that too close?
Well, okay, well, I mean, yes and no.
You were really struggling here. Like, I was...
Well, for me right now, like, I could have been blood.
You don't crave it.
If it's there, if it's on offer on the a la carte menu,
you don't need it. You know, like, it's...
A bit of black pudding, you might have it.
Can you please, can you leave the black pudding uncooked? Can you please? I almost think calling it black pudding is better. Can you leave the black pudding uncooked for me? Thank you. Thanks. I'm really hungry. That's you. That was my impression of Christina at a restaurant. Really clear.
I was wondering what was going on, because it sounded like her. Even though I was clearly looking at you, and your mouth was moving. I was like, what's going on?
Could you please leave the black pudding uncooked? Please leave the black pudding uncooked. Please. Please leave it uncooked. And please.
Christina, if you're not going to eat all that, I'll have the leftovers.
All right, so yeah, back to being a vampire.
Yeah, I mean, so for the past couple of weeks, I've been staying up pretty much all night or until the sun starts coming up, animating, because I can only animate when it's dark. So that's been really strange. And Moira and I were talking just the other day about how, you know, working a swing shift or working at night actually can shorten your lifespan. So that's...
I laughed. I'm sorry. We have talked about it a couple times.
So. So now I will not live as long.
But you know what? There's lots of things that... At least you don't smoke.
So it's just like one thing.
But also, I mean, it sounds like you just did it for a single night. I think you could probably do it for a month or 2 months or 3 months, and you're still not going to affect your lifespan.
Is it
a week?
For a couple of weeks.
I think you still have like a bit of leeway to go before
your lifespan is shortened.
You know, I think you're still going to reach 75 easily.
But I think that...
It's just such a creepy thing to like...
No, but at least 75. No,
definitely 75. I could see it.
At least, you know, I can't guarantee, you know, the 80s, but...
Yeah, I'm not like particularly risk taker, I guess. Not like physically, like I'm not into extreme sports, so.
Right.
So well, I'm not like increasing the odds there.
What if you can't, you like start with staying up all night, and next thing you know, you start
snowballs.
Like, you're like just dangerous thing after dangerous thing, just sort
of. It'll like creep up, staying up all night, and it'll be like, maybe smoking now.
Maybe smoking now.
No, paragliding.
Yeah. Else is like bungee jumping is supposed to be really dangerous as an extreme sport.
I don't think it is.
Looks like everybody does it though. I mean, what's the big deal?
What's your project about, Christina?
Animating an episode of a series called Flying Cello, which is directed by my friend Lillian Fu, and it's for Hong Kong TV. So it's going to be on TV in Hong Kong.
Is it about a cello that flies?
No, it's about a restaurant in Rhode Island that flies named Cello's.
Good answer. Glad I asked the question. I just set it up and you knocked it home, Moira.
Hey!
Let's do it again. Is it about a flying cello?
No, it's about a restaurant in Rhode Island called Cello's.
Strangely enough, I was hoping for a different answer.
I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anything. I was like...
Moira, you got this one?
No.
Oh. Moira? Is it about a flying cello?
Yeah, no, it's about a restaurant in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Okay, oh, come on. All right. I guess at least we have three things that happened, but at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for in comedy. As long as it happens three times.
It doesn't matter how boring they are, as long as it's three of them.
Just at least three or a million. Those are your only options. So, yeah, but this sounds cool. So, are you having... what do you do during the day, then?
Are you sleeping?
The routine has been that I'll sleep pretty late, not like all day, because the sun starts to come up and around.
You do sound like, a vampire.
You really do. It's it's unanimous. Kelly and I both arrived at that opinion independently and at the same time.
She goes to a restaurant around 6 or 7.
Can I have the black pudding? Uncooked, please. Black
you do a really good impression of Moira doing an impression of you. It's beautiful.
And then
it's not the only project that I've been working on, so I do other work, really.
How long is this going to take you? And are you the only person working on this episode?
On this episode, yes, but they're really short episodes. They're 3-minute episodes.
So it'll take you about a year.
No,
but seriously, how long will it take you to...
They've been pretty simple. The animation has been quite simple, and that's part of the point, because it's a pretty low budget production overall. But there are 10 episodes, and I'm just doing one.
Yes, but how long will it take you to do your episode? How long?
Well, I mean, I'm done. I've got one shot left, and then I'm done.
Okay, how long will
and
it
that one shot
you?
Will take?
How long?
It'll be tonight when I leave here.
How long will it have taken you to work on the episode?
Like a month, maybe.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had a friend, or I still do. I have a friend who's working on a beautiful animation, called Coda, and
the animation or the friend.
Both. The friend is beautiful, as is the animation.
But Coda is the name.
Oh, the Coda, sorry. No, Coda is the name of the animation, not the friend.
Can you name your friend?
His name is Alan Holly. Okay. And he was all day, from 10 to 1 in the morning working on something. We were chatting either the next day or that night, I can't remember. And I was like, oh, what did you work on today? And he's like, I spent the day animating an ant. And the ant, he showed it to me, the ant was half the size of my fingernail, and that was an entire day's worth. And that just blew my mind. I just think the dedication, now having said that, I'm sure he was exaggerating. There has to be a few other little bits.
No, not at all. I mean, because the animation I've been doing has been simple, it's been going quite fast. To do 3 minutes of animation in about a month is really fast. That's a super fast turnaround. My graduation film from film school is 12 minutes long, and that took me 9 months just shooting the animation, and then more time with the set build and all the other stuff, post-production and the pre-production process as well. And that was 9 months of working all day and late into the night, and animating 10 seconds in a day and feeling 10 seconds,
it's such a labor of love.
When you watch that finished piece, are you filled with both intense joy, but also kind of a sadness because it's over so quickly?
Oh, good question.
I think animators tend not to think about that. We really, even if it feels like torture while it's going on, the process, you forget it, immediately.
You're like waitresses.
I was going to say like a Buddha.
and then, weirdly, we just want to do it again. We want to make another film, and we forget all about how long it took and how grueling the process was.
Do you think it ripples out into your, do you become kind of Buddha-like in your life?
No.
Good. Well, no, not good, but just fine. Good.
I think it's totally depends. Some people do it by having a really strict routine, and other people just sort of it sucks the life right out of you while it's happening.
Much like a vampire.
Cartoons, actually. Yeah, that they're,
what if you were
the vampiric nature of cartoons.
Kind of would be very meta to be a vampiric animator working on a cartoon about a vampire.
It's been done.
I'm sure
it's been
it has.
Done, yeah.
Yeah, Count Dracula, right? Dracula? I don't know.
And on that note, it's late tonight, so I'm going to put a song on that reminds us of the fact that it's night, even though it's still a little bit sunny out.
I don't know.
Here we go.
What to laugh or
cry. Here we go.
And we're back.
Who is that, Mike?
It's Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Nice. Mike, can you tell everyone who faded the music down?
A little friend, a little extra special guest. Not that Christina hasn't been wonderful.
You're saying that like she no longer need to.
Like she's been fired. Like you've been fired.
You're done.
No. It's just a friend of mine from Providence, named Monkey.
Named Monkey.
Is it because he is a monkey?
Yeah. Shy monkey.
Oh, there's beautiful puppetry going on that I feel like needs.
A monkey came to tell us a bedtime story, but I was thinking maybe we could talk about something else before that happened.
Let's talk about the random word of the day.
The random word of the day is border, spelled B-O-A-R-D-E-R.
Oh, I just, you took the word border and ran with it.
Okay. So yeah, not to be confused, like, not like county lines, but we're talking about people who stay with other people.
Yeah. Apart from Kelly. Kelly
and it sounds like in a formal
way. No, I actually did do that one, but I thought I was doing the wrong one.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
So.
Oh, hold on one sec. You talk amongst yourselves.
Kelly has to adjust something. I don't know. The word, it kind of brings up a lot of things, you know, like boarding house. Ye oldie timey way people used to stay in places. Drifters, college students.
It still happens though.
Yeah.
There are borders in there.
But we call it Airbnb now.
When I was 16, I went in my transition year to a school for dramatic arts in London, but kind of outside of London, in Surrey. And it.
Ironic, because isn't it called the Central School?
No, this was called the Arts Academy or something like that.
The Arts Academy?
Something like that.
OTTS?
Yeah, something like that. And
I thought you meant like arts, but you were saying it in an English...
Arts, the Arts Academy. No?
No.
No, I thought you were saying art, but in an English accent.
I was.
Oh, okay. There we go.
And
I was... Glad we're all clear on everything now.
I was a boarder. I was... Actually, maybe I was 15. I felt I was very young for my age. And everyone...
You were very young for your age?
Well, wait now. This is where the story's going.
Oh, okay.
The other girls all had phones. I didn't have phones. I shared with 10 other girls. Maybe it was a big dorm. And they all wore makeup and gave blowjobs.
It was in a girl's boarding room, right?
Yeah, but not to each other.
Okay.
There was boys there as well. But like they were so advanced. And my first night...
You were just giving hand jobs.
So that was like a massive leap to me. But I really felt like very out of my depth. And I remember the first night, one of the girls, kind of before I knew anyone, running in. It was two doors in and out, kind of either end of the room, but she ran in going, "I got my period!" Because she thought she was pregnant and she was terrified. And she just ran around screaming that.
Not like I'm a woman now, but like I've been a woman for a while.
Yeah. I'm so much of a woman, I can risk getting pregnant.
Yeah. And so she was celebrating it, and I barely even got my period, never mind being frightened of not having it.
So that's when you were a boarder.
Terrifying. That's when I was a boarder.
Did you make any buddies? Like, you've got to make a friend in those situations.
I made some wonderfully nerdy allies, yeah.
Yeah.
I teamed up with the fellow nerds.
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
I got glandular fever, so about 5 weeks instead of a year.
Oh, you were supposed to be there for a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a very 19th century story.
Thank you.
First the glandular fever, then the dysentery set in.
And well, actually, the whole art school was in this really 19th century house, and the grass was so soft, it was like trampolines. That's all I remember.
But it was like in England, so they're like, keep off that shit, keep off the trampolines.
That's not
and the grouse.
Moira, you could do a better English accent than that.
Keep off that shit.
Okay, you can't.
No, you can't.
So anyone else have any border
experience? Was growing up, we would always get French and Spanish students during the summer. I kind of didn't like it. I didn't like sharing my home with strangers. But then there was always a lot of,
I feel like you did... His eyes are revealing that he did... He put shit in their bed and stuff. And
no, I didn't do that, but I did have a summer job where, like, working in the school, running a little tuck shop, and it was kind of cool because for my age, I was making good money. Ridiculous money now, but also there was like a lot of cute, like, French and Spanish girls around. So that was...
That you never talked to or had relationships with. That's
correct.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that was 12 at the time,
you're like,
you know? So,
yeah, 12.
You know,
1, 2, 2. Hey, you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your story.
You probably. Oh, but you did. So let's.
Well, I would like to take my feet off. Ow! Ow, Kelly.
Yeah, no, but we would always have kind of like French Spanish students around, and then later on, kind of like we actually had an actual border for a while.
What do you mean by that?
Like an actual border, so like just some guy who was just living. Oh. Because like, we had like a 5-bedroom house. Yeah.
There's a lot of bedrooms.
We had 2 bedrooms.
How many?
Just 2.
2.
Christina? Any boarding experiences?
How many bedrooms did you have, Christina?
Well, I mean, no, not really. The first time I was living with other people was in the dorms when I was in college.
Ooh, tell me about that. We want to know about that.
That's a very typical American experience.
But we're Irish.
Well, the first year was had its ups and downs, because in the first year they kind of have you fill out these little forms and send them in, and then they put you together with people that they think you're going to get along with. And one of those people ended up being, you know, my best friend throughout college. But
a good marks at a college for that.
Well, yeah, but the funny thing is that we were not the two people who looked like we would be friends on paper. Like, okay. There was definitely another girl in the dorm room who was, like, I could tell that she, and, you know, based on our discussions, that she had written the same kinds of things as me on our little forms. But she was awful. And she was horrible, and she was really mean to me and my other friend. What kind of things did
she say? Can we get a fake name for her?
Tell me the worst name that you hate.
Her actual name.
Yeah,
her actual
name. Give us her actual name. Who cares? She's never going to hear it. Who cares?
I'm sure she wouldn't, but I won't say it anyway. We'll call her Gabby. That's not her real name. But anyway,
your name's Gabrielle.
So Gabby was just, and this was part of the culture shock for me of going to a school where there were people from very privileged backgrounds, and she had gone herself. I can't remember. I think it was like a boarding school in the U.S. and her.
Like, Kelly's just punching the table. She's getting angrier and angrier at this story. She's like, fucking Gabby.
Sorry, my headphones are too big for my ridiculously small head. Go on.
Aw. Well, she was just a real snob, basically, and would purposefully kind of exclude me and my friend from anything, even though, like, as freshman
students...
Sounds
like students, the joke wasn't her, because then she was doing everything alone, right?
No, she was doing things with the other snobby rich people in our dorm. And there were just little things that kind of added up. Like, for example, it was time when everyone was signing up for classes, and I wanted to take this one English class, and she knew that she wanted to take it as well. And she did her damnedest to convince me that I should not sign up for this class because she didn't want to be in the same class as me. She was like, I don't know, this is kind of advanced, Christina.
Fought her in the end.
That's like something from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very like Mean Girls-y. Very kind of shitty. That sounds like a shithead. You're a shithead, Gabby.
Gabrielle. Let's call her real name, Gabrielle. Let's put a scarlet letter on her.
Scarlet letter?
Yeah. What would the letter be? Would it be C for college?
S no, for snob? It would be J for jackass.
J for jackass.
Sounds about right.
Sounds pretty powerful. And then in my border story, it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, like boarding.
Didn't you meet your husband when you were staying somewhere where you were all staying in the same place?
Yeah, but that was like, I lived
that
in
sounds
artist
like it would be a good story.
Artist studios. That's not the same thing. We weren't like,
I'm tweaking.
We're a bunch of blow-ins
here.
From,
But dorm living is not boarding exactly either, so.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right. That's true. I lived in this place called AS220 for 3 years that was an artist base in Providence and is still an artist base. And that's where I met my husband, because we lived in the top floor of this building. And on the first floor of the building was a venue and restaurant and bar. And one night, Gareth actually played with this band called SoCow, who are from Tuam in Galway, or Brian, the sort of person, the brains behind the operation, is from Tuam. And anyway, but Gareth was sort of asked to drum for them for a short tour in America, and on that tour we met. If you want to know more about the story,
Moira's number
you
is.
Can be friends with me.
Our purchaser memoir. Love at the Arts Commune.
Commune, I love it. Yeah. What did you say earlier?
Contribute.
Contribute Commune. That's the name of my memoir. But actually, yeah, it's a really good story, but that was place.
But you're not going to tell us.
Yeah, I'm just not going to tell it. Like, I lived with like 11 people who were amazing, and then we had like a visiting artist every month. That was really cool. And we had our own sort of space, but we also shared a kitchen and bathroom. And one of the reasons why I met Gareth the night that I did was because I was just like, I did this thing where it was like, this band needed a place to stay. And I'm like, we live above a venue and nobody ever, whoever stays with us, because everyone's just like, I'm in my own little world. I am going to paint and I'm going to be by myself and like, you know, skulk into the kitchen and then sneak scuttle out again. You know, like it wasn't really, it was amazing. But, you know, people did sort of have their own, you know, their own relationship with what it was to live communally, and generally that involved a lot of avoiding other people.
I think I'd be like that too.
Yeah, actually. Of course you would. It's kind of intense. So anyway, but I mean, some of the best years of my life were there spent, and I met the person I liked the most on the planet there. So
damn, it's not any of us.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry to say, we're best friends, no one else.
Yes.
Come on, Rory, say yes. It.
We're best friends, no one else.
We're best friends, no one else. We're best friends, no one else. Okay, so there you have it.
Well,
and I also, before we, like, I know we've all kind of covered this theme on borders, because I didn't think about it as a word that it was. I was thinking about it as something else. Like I had this whole Puppets Without Borders thing, like rehearsed.
Do it.
That would be homeless puppets, kind of.
Why?
Because they would be. Oh no, they would be puppets who have homes, but they don't take in borders.
Who have homeless?
If you're going with the actual word, it would be puppets who have homes.
Yeah, but don't.
But they don't take in borders.
Yeah.
It's like, really, this is my home. No, thank you. I don't want your 70 really euros a week.
This is a great sketch idea. Here, let's see if we can try and act it out.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I'm just in the area and I need a place to stay.
Oh,
I stay
that's
here.
Marky talking, that's, by the way.
Yeah.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
Can I stay here?
No.
Can I pay you?
Nope.
Can I cut your lawn?
Nope.
Can I feed you bananas?
No.
Because there's a monkey.
No.
Oh. How did you get the house?
Look,
I'm in the door.
Oh my god.
I'm squatting now. Would you like a cup of tea?
Tim? No, I don't want some tea.
How do you like it?
Timmy.
Milk?
Tim.
With sugar?
Tim.
Ooh,
help.
Digestives.
Tim. Get in here. Tim. There's a man in the house.
My friend.
Call the police.
My friend Killian and Conrad friends will be coming. Oh, here they are.
Oh my god. Oh my god, get them out of here.
I'm Killian, I'm Conrad, I'm all the friends.
Hey, come in, lads. A cup of tea. There we go. It'll be like that.
That's good.
That's great. That's like basically what the best sketch we've ever done.
What was the thing you actually rehearsed?
Puppets Without Borders.
Oh yeah, Puppets Without Borders. I just wanted, it was sort of, because we panic sometimes with the podcast, I thought there would be like a humanitarian effort that Monkey would tell you guys a bedtime story to relax you at the end of the podcast. So we have 15 more minutes. So I was going to say we could talk about whatever you want for a little while, and then to soothe us into this sort of the end of the podcast, Monkey would read us a bedtime story.
Sounds like a
story.
Great idea.
Lovely. Where do you
genuinely, I'm not being smart.
I'm not being smart. This is Rory. He's like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
It's genuine.
Come on, do it.
Oh great, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea, Moira.
Oh god. Okay, Christina, you do it. Tell me how it sounds like a great idea.
That sounds like a great idea.
So you can't tell her that's sarcasm.
Yeah, vampire. Right? I love it. Clearly so a vampire.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's the best kind of sarcasm, where it just puts everyone on edge.
Yeah, you're like, oh my god, that could be real.
So neutral, it's like.
But is it?
It is.
That sounds like a great idea.
Summer holidays. Summer holidays. Where are people going or would like to go on their summer holidays?
Scotland.
Why?
Next week.
Oh, so you are going.
Why? I don't know why.
Would you just happening. Like to go next week?
It's happening. We're going next week for a couple days.
Very cool. Where are you going?
Edinburgh. Scoping it out for next year's comedy festival.
Oh,
no, that's not true at all.
No, wait. The festival's in September, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's August, there's also September next year. You know what I mean? It's not like the fact that it's in September negates the fact. It means that she couldn't be going for their, you know, scouting it for next year.
Yes.
It'll be on in September of next year. All right,
I'm just going to go to see the castle and the ghosts. I want to go on every ghost tour that Edinburgh has. It's like all of them. Just like spend $3,000 on ghost stories.
You have to pay like £15 or something to go into the castle.
It's not even that interesting. Like, it's like this big building people haven't lived in for a long time.
Malahide Castle is €12, which is comparable. I mean, it's cheaper.
But is it haunted? You're paying
for it. There's a little jester that haunts Malahide Castle. Yeah, and he was like, "This." Did you hear about
yes.
this?
Yes.
Tell us, Rory.
I can't remember exactly the story, but I did hear something about...
Fill in the gaps.
Every castle that gets a large tourist rate, there is like a ghost, or there's something, or there's a stone that'll give you the gift of the gap, you know.
Ah, don't be so ghost cynical.
Well, you know.
Yeah, don't be so... Don't throw that blarney around this podcast.
There was a little jester there who did basically the earliest form of improv back in the 1600s.
Well, by falling in love with a woman who hated him? Getting murdered?
That too, but... That was incidental. But anyway, he was hated by everybody because he was terrible at it. So they just throw him off the ramparts.
Ramparts?
Now he haunts Malahide Castle.
They murdered him from the top of the building?
Well, back then it wasn't considered murder. It was just like, you're not funny.
Get out.
Get out, and by out, we mean fall off this large building.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's tragic. It's so tragic.
Bloodlust.
Yeah. Crazy.
Speaking of that, Christina, didn't you want to talk about Star Wars before we came to
this? Yes.
Go for it.
Well, speaking of bloodlust, this was really supposed to be originally me and also my husband, Robin, because we have differing viewpoints on this topic, which is basically I was very upset and annoyed and angry when the original cast list came out for the new Star Wars and the ratio of men to women was so incredibly skewed. Was one new female character out of 9.
Boo, feminist alert.
Yeah, feminist watch.
The feminist watch, yeah, not alert. Alert sounds like you want them out of here.
There are feminists around.
Get them out.
Get them out.
Shit, lock the door, Mark.
So what are you doing? Are you going to protest?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that any form of... The protest has happened.
You're still going to watch the movie, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, but the forms of protest have happened. I mean, there was definitely a backlash, and people were upset. And, you know, supposedly as a result of this, although the people in charge are claiming that this was their plan all along, they've announced that there are 2 new female cast members.
Oh, that makes it so much better. That's almost like 50-50.
It's almost.
It's better.
No, it's a quarter of the total.
And also, it's slightly suspicious because they have already started shooting, so I don't really know how integrated these characters are, or if they are even supposed to be in all 3 of the new movies.
I love the idea of them being really hacked on.
Yeah, like they're in the house band. They're like, it's the band leader and the drummer, and it's like close up on their faces, and then back to the story.
Am I the only person in the world who is completely indifferent to the fact that there's a new Star Wars?
I'm pretty indifferent.
Okay, good.
Yep.
I used to care, but I don't anymore. But I still like a good argument.
The old school ones were amazing.
I think we were talking about this the other night that it just, you got so excited about the sequel, prequels or whatever, but then they were so bad, and one was more disappointing than the next.
But,
so.
But the franchise is so beloved. Like, those original 3 trilogies were so good.
There was one trilogy.
Sorry. Those original 3 films. Those original 3 films were so good. were so good that the people sat through all 3 new ones, in spite of the fact that each one was more terrible than the last.
And they're still going to sit through new films again, which realistically, are they going to be anywhere near as good as that original trilogy? I doubt it, right?
All
right,
well, come on. But you know what? I think the last... Someone said this. The last good film that you were, like, looking for, that you were the last film that this person at the party we were at said that they enjoyed as a blockbuster was Jurassic Park. And I'm like, that could be true. Like, I don't know. Could it be true? It's kind of like I was racking my brain to think of something that... Besides that, that one Batman film, that was The Dark Knight Rises.
That was actually really good.
Really good, like profoundly effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it time for Monkey Story?
All right.
No,
guys, put your pajamas on. Rory, put something on, for God's sake.
I feel like I need to.
Christina wants something.
I feel like I need to represent. So. Just quickly, the reason why this is even an argument that we were going to have, because you know there's validity in what Robin is saying, as much as it makes my blood boil to say it, which is basically that, you know, although it made me very angry that there was this, you know, huge gender gap in the new Star Wars film, that as filmmakers and artists, no one should have to be subscribing to any kind of quota system or political correctness, because that's inherently wrong in art. I disagree.
Yeah, because it's not true.
What if you were making a film set in
where did that come from?
In a boarding school, like a single gender boarding school.
Well, but that's like the wrong what if, because that's not what's happening. That's not what Star Wars is.
No, but it's a what if.
It's almost what it is.
It's a what if.
It's like people being.
I'm not saying that Star Wars, but just experience. The idea of that you have to have an equal balance of gender.
Are you just trying to bring the word border back into the discussion?
No, but like, what if you? I mean, you know, you have a film set in a world dominated by one of the genders, and by dominated, I mean there's more of.
You mean
that.
A world like the one we're in right now?
I wish. Just a joke, feminist.
What? So, which one do you wish?
Christina, that's a joke, feminist.
And Moira and Christina.
Well, no, but that's an interesting thing, because you wish, like, in which direction? Because as a man, hypothetically, you want a world where there are more women, so you have more choices, right?
No, but I'm just saying, let's say there's a film about...
Rory,
about a boarding school, and it's either all
boarding school.
No, it's either all boys or all girls.
Yeah, but then there would of course be more of characters of that gender.
Yeah,
and predominantly more. But that's the wrong scenario to be looking at, because that is completely and utterly not what Star Wars is.
Okay, I mean, I haven't watched Star Wars, so I don't
You've never seen it?
He thinks Star Wars is just a boys' boarding school in space.
But no, I wasn't really addressing Star Wars, just a concept that, like, is this an across-the-board principle?
Of course not. Okay. Of course
Christina,
not.
I think you should come back every podcast and talk about this more and more. I think this is, like, the greatest thing
ever. Feminist alert. Can I just, like, interject occasionally?
Bring it back alert. To Star Wars and, like, the inequality.
You should give her a poking stick, and she could just stick. Poke either Mark or Rory if they're.
I have like a little or sound.
That's
like
gender
a siren.
Discrimination. Yeah. You just packed that on at the end, Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or us. Yeah, you should definitely come back, Christina.
Yeah, you should every week talk about Star Wars, please. If I. Actually, you know what? Why not? Let's just say. Can I. Let's shake on it. It could happen if you wanted to. Anything can happen if you want it to. Let's put our hands together. Come on, put your hands together. Come here.
We didn't like need like this? Fingers here. Yeah.
Anything can happen little monkey if you want it to. Say it with me.
Anything can happen if you want it to.
On that note, it's definitely
let's go. Let's go take a sauna. Let's go take a naked sauna.
How? I think it would be the most awkward thing in the history of the world ever if Goose had to take a naked song together. That would be off the charts. The awkwardness would just be horrible.
Oh,
it
God.
Should be recorded.
It would be
live.
Oh no!
It would get a billion hits on YouTube.
Oh my God! That'd
Channel
be
4
so
could yeah, Channel 4 could broadcast it live as a documentary. You know,
it would be so silent. That's what I hate about that documentary. It would be so quiet.
But it would all be close-ups of our faces as we're just so, like, just embarrassed and humiliated.
And you're going to get red and sweaty because it's a sauna.
Yeah.
And then you should get Steve McQueen to direct it. Just, like,
just suck all of the there's well Kelly's face.
Sorry.
Well, I'm gonna say like comedy out of anyway. All right, so this is
I'm Monkey, and I'm gonna tell you a good night's tale because it's 10:25. It's 22:25 here in Ireland, and it's time to sleep.
Monkey, can I get some cornflakes?
You can get some cornflakes, but you gotta get the milk. You gotta get the milk out of the kitchen.
Can I have some cookies?
All right, here. You can have some cookies, okay?
Oh, thanks, Monkey.
Give me your little breakfast cookies, little Kelly. Okay?
Hey, I'm bigger than you, Monkey.
Hey, Kelly, relax. Monkey's been nice.
I'm just gonna tell you a little bedtime story. Okay, close your eyes. Christine, close your eyes. Rory?
Yeah, they're closed.
Kelly, close your eyes. This story is called Centralia. In 1962, a fire started in a mine beneath...
Monkey, I just got over the last nightmare that you gave me from...
Beneath the town of Centralia, and ultimately led to the town being almost entirely abandoned. There is some disagreement over the specific event which triggered the fire. David DeCock... After studying
Monkey, Jesus, now
that's his name, David DeCock. After studying,
it must be pronounced differently, Monkey.
Close your eyes. Shh.
Okay, sorry.
Shh. I'll get to the good parts if you need me to, but I just want to.
Get to the good parts.
In May 1962, the Centralia Borough Council...
No, the good parts!
...hired 5 members of the Volunteer Fire Company to clean up the town landfill. And they located an abandoned strip mine pit next to the Oddfellows Cemetery. This had been done prior to Memorial Day in previous years.
Monkey, you're just reading off of Wikipedia. I thought you had written a story for us. This is the cop out.
Kelly, I just these are my notes on my phone.
Okay.
Where is Centralia?
Very few homes remain standing in Centralia. Most of the abandoned buildings have been demolished by the Columbia County Redevelopment Authority or claimed by nature. At a casual glance, the area now appears to be a field with many paved streets running through it.
Monkey, I don't want to go to school tomorrow.
Okay, yeah? Have a breakfast cookie. The breakfast cookies?
Excuse me. Sorry, Monkey.
Rory, you're making me upset.
No, I burped.
The only indications of the fire, which underlies some 400 acres, 1.6 kilometers spreading along 4 fronts, are low, round metal steam vents.
Monkey, why are you telling us this story? Is there a moral to it?
Don't underestimate the power of nature to burn forever when you exploit its resources.
Mm. Monkey, I'm going to be late for my psychiatrist meeting tomorrow if I don't get to sleep.
Well, Roy, we're in a radio station above Grogan's, so you're on your own.
I'm just saying that your story gave me nightmares.
Monkey. What's wrong? The monkey's fallen asleep. Okay, well, we're glad that someone fell asleep to the story.
Not at all.
That was...
Statewide attention to the fire began to increase, culminating in 1991, when a 12-year-old resident named Todd Domboski fell into a sinkhole. God.
How do we end this?
Monkey, this has to stop.
How does it end?
Let's just say that it ends in a lethal level of carbon monoxide, and the town has a fire burning underneath it to this day.
Yeah. As most good stories do.
Yeah. So,
how is that for you, Christina?
We are nearing...
Quite informative.
Yeah? Good.
I think there's an animation there.
Oh.
Animation. Thank you for coming to the show.
Zed, where are we at the end? We're like...
We made
10:29.
Hey guys, let's go.
Let's thank Christina very much
Christina,
for coming along.
For coming along.
Thanks for having us.
Being on Femme's Alert, most importantly.